All right, we're looking in the book of Ecclesiastes tonight in the fourth chapter. So go ahead and be turning to Ecclesiastes. To find Ecclesiastes, you turn to Psalms, turn right, and through the book of Proverbs, you should find Ecclesiastes. Today, we're talking about how to keep stress from becoming distress. This is the third message in the series called Stress Busters, and we have several more messages in this series. I will remind you that Ecclesiastes was written by an old, bitter, cynical, stressed-out Solomon. In the height of his youth, Solomon wrote Song of Solomon. In the height of his spiritual development, he wrote many of the Proverbs. And toward the end of his life, as the Bible says, when his wives had turned his heart from God, he made many of the observations that we find in the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you're here for the first time for this series, when you read the book of Ecclesiastes, you have to be very careful because much of it is written from the perspective of humanity. And many of the statements are made from the perspective of humanity instead of from the perspective of heaven. And some of the verses taken out of context in the book of Ecclesiastes can be very misleading and confusing. And Solomon is the one who talks about how all mankind lives under stress. In fact, if you just want to back up into chapter 3 for just a moment, and let's review some of the observations that he has made that we know are not true spiritually. For instance, verse 19, chapter 3, verse 19, Solomon writes, "Man's fate is like that of the animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Man has no advantage over the animal. Everything is meaningless." Is that true? Absolutely not. We are the height of God's creation. He says in chapter 4, verse 1, he said, "Again I looked and I saw all the oppression." Circle that word oppression. We get our word pressure. Oppression, pressure. It's the same root word. "I saw all the oppression or pressure that was taking place under the sun." I've told you before that that phrase, "under the sun," appears 29 times in the 12 chapters of Ecclesiastes. And that's the problem. Solomon is looking at life from under the sun. And the Lord God is above the sun and much greater than the sun. And so as Solomon looked under the sun, this is what he saw. He said, "I saw the tears of the oppressed," those who were pressured, "and that they have no comforter. Power was on the side of the oppressors, and they have no comforter. And I declared that the dead who had already died are happier than the living who are still alive. But better than both is he who has not yet been, who has not seen the evil that is done," there's the phrase, "under the sun." Verse 4, "And I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor." Now let me ask you, is that true? I mean, do you serve God because you're envious of your neighbor? Absolutely not. But that's what cynical old Solomon thought. He says, "This too is meaningless," and here's a phrase he repeats, "a chasing after the wind. The fool folds his hands and ruins himself." He says a fool just basically just folds his hands and gives up and he's ruined anyway. And then there is a great measure of truth in verse 6. "Better one handful with tranquility than two hands full with toil and chasing after the wind." What a description of our 21st century culture. People grabbing hold of possessions with both hands to try to be happy. There is so much stress in our world today. Somebody sent me a stress diet. Maybe you're interested in learning what the stress diet is. A lot of these diets are big fads these days. This diet is designed to help you cope with stress. And if you understand, stress normally builds up during the day. So, for breakfast, you eat one half of a grapefruit, have one slice of whole wheat toast dry, and you have 8 ounces of skim milk. And then for lunch, you have 4 ounces of lean broiled chicken breast, 1 cup of steamed spinach, 1 cup of herb tea, and 1 Oreo cookie. For your mid-afternoon snack, you have the rest of the Oreos in the package. You have 2 pints of Rocky Road ice cream, 1 jar of hot fudge sauce, nuts, cherries, whipped cream. And for dinner, you have 2 loaves of garlic bread with cheese, large sausage, mushroom and cheese pizza, 4 cans or 1 large pitcher of beer. Obviously, it's not a Baptist diet. 3 Milky Way or Snickers candy bars. Isn't that the attitude of some people? I mean, just, hey, we might as well just eat up because stress is going to be there. Well, the Word of God has much to say about how to keep stress from becoming distress. And so let's learn a little bit about stress. Here's our stress point. You need to understand that pressure is just a fact of life. And if you are a participant in life, you just need to prepare to be annoyed all of your life. You cannot escape stress. And the only people that are not under stress at this time are those people who are buried out in the cemetery. You know, children think, you know, if I could just grow up and I didn't have to go to school, then I wouldn't have stress anymore. And then adults look back at children and we say, oh, if I could just be a child again, I wouldn't have so much stress. And people that are working say, well, if I could just be retired, I wouldn't have any stress. And people that are retired, they remember back in their middle age when they think, well, you know what, if I could just be back then, I wouldn't have the stress that I do now. People who work for an hourly wage, they look at people who are paid a salary and they say, well, if I could just get paid a salary, I wouldn't have the pressure I have in this hourly paid job. And those that work for a salary say, wow, I wish I could get paid by the hour so I could just go home and turn it off. Everybody thinks the other person doesn't have stress when the truth is we all face stress. Have you ever thought you've had a bad day? You thought you had a bad day? This actually happened. In the summer of 1996, the California Fire Prevention Department of the government discovered a body where there had been a forest fire. And the strange thing about this body is that this body was in a wetsuit with a scuba tank attached to his back. And they had no idea how he got in the middle of a forest fire. There were massive internal injuries. And when they performed an autopsy and compared the dental records, they identified this man as a man who had gone scuba diving one day when there were some forest fires. And here he was swimming along in the bay off the coast of San Francisco, just having a good time, when one of these Chinook helicopters with one of those huge buckets that they fill up with water to douse the forest fires dipped into the water and no doubt dipped this man into the huge bucket. And here he is suddenly swimming around in this bucket of seawater. And then when they got over the fire, boom, dropped him on the fire. So you think you've had a bad day? Nobody in this room has had a bad day compared to that poor guy that got dropped on a forest fire. But stress is just a part of life. Pressure is just a part of life. Let's learn 3 things about stress or pressure. Number one, manageable stress is a good thing. In other words, there are some pressures in your life that you ought to pay attention to. In other words, if you stand on the scale and you read, go run, you better pay attention to that kind of pressure, that kind of stress. If you had no stress whatsoever, you would just lay around and you wouldn't do anything. Let me just kind of compare stress to a rubber band. I have a rubber band here. And you know, a rubber band that doesn't have any tension really is no good. A rubber band was designed to have a little tension. Because the purpose for which a rubber band was designed was to hold things together. And it needs some tension in order for it to work. And the same thing is true of us. A little bit of tension and a manageable amount of pressure is a good thing. Have you ever noticed that a football team, when they go into the 2-minute drill and the clock is running down, have you ever noticed how much better they perform? You wonder, well, why don't they just do the 2-minute drill all throughout the game? It's because that added pressure there of the end of the game and the 2-minute drill makes them perform at a higher level. And the same is true with us. Whenever we experience stress and pressure and deadlines, those things are good for us. I had a man tell me one time in the natural gas business, he said, you know, in the pipelines, too little pressure is very dangerous. And too much pressure is dangerous. In the natural gas pipelines, an exact pressure level has to be maintained for the delivery of natural gas. And there are people in computers that are constantly making sure that that pressure level is kept at an optimal level. Now, think about that. All of us have what we could call an optimal stress level. That point at which we are motivated by pressure and stress to perform, but that level at which it doesn't drive us into distress or dangerous stress. And so you've got to get out of your mind that all stress is bad and that all pressure is bad. A manageable amount of pressure is good for you. Here's the second thing we learn about stress. Number two, excessive stress is dangerous. In other words, when you get overburdened and you get loaded down and you cannot bear the weight any longer, that's when you get in trouble. Let's use our rubber band again. Have you ever noticed that sometimes when a rubber band is kept at its maximum tension for a long time, you know what happens sometimes when you remove the papers or whatever that it's holding together? It's lost its elasticity. And that can happen to people. When you perform at your maximum stress level for a long time, you can lose your effectiveness. Or we all know what happens. Sometimes the pressure builds up and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up and it builds up until finally it snaps and there's a breakdown. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, he had a nervous breakdown? But you know what? Nerves do not break down. Nerves may be severed, but nerves don't break down. People break down. And what happens is when they are exerted and subjected to excessive stress. And that's what you need to be careful about. I saw a cartoon in the New Yorker magazine some time ago, and there was a bridge, and the sign on the bridge said, weight limit 10 tons. And in the next frame, there's a truck that's traveling toward the bridge, and on the side of the truck, it said, weight 10 tons. And in the next frame, the truck is easing across the bridge, and then a little sparrow flies and lands on top of the truck. And when it does, you know what happens in the cartoon. The bridge collapses, and the truck falls into the river as the little bird flies off asking, well, what did I do, you see? And it could be that you may be one or two birds away from collapse. You may be close to, as we say, the straw that broke the camel's back. And that's why it's very important for you to recognize, what is my optimal stress level? What is the level at which I perform effectively? And do not go beyond that into excessive stress. And here's the third thing that we learn about stress. You must learn to beware of major stressors. In other words, learn to recognize those things that send you over the line, make you lose it. And like our friend on the screen up here, have you ever felt that way when you're working with a computer and it says hit any key, you just want to take a big hammer and hit about every one of those keys? There are major stressors in our lives that can push us over the line into excessive stress. In 1967, Drs. Holmes and Ray wrote a book entitled Journal of Psychosomatic Research, in which they said there are different events that happen in a person's life. These are called major stressors. And they assigned a numerical value to each one of these stressors. And they said if your total numerical value of stress is over 100 to 150, you are a candidate for distress and even suffering the physical symptoms of distress. Let me just name to you, according to Drs. Holmes and Ray, what are the 10 greatest stressors that people face in life. You can imagine what number one is, the death of a spouse or a child. And you know what number they assign to that? 100. And if you've gone through within the last 18 months any of these major stressors in your life, you need to be careful because you are a candidate for some kind of problem with stress. That was number one, the death of a spouse or a child. That was 100. Number two was divorce. Divorce is the second major stressor that you can face in life, and they assigned a number of 73 to that. Marital separation was number 3. They assigned 65. A jail term for self or family, that was number 4. They assigned a number of 63 to that. The death of a family member, they also assigned 63 to that. Next is a major personal injury or illness. They assigned 53 to that. Number 7, you know what the 7th greatest stressor in life is? Marriage. Just getting married. They assigned 50 to it. Number 8 is being fired from work. Number 9, marital reconciliation. And number 10, you ready for this? The 10th most common and the 10th major stressor in life, retirement. That's right, retirement. I mean, some folks that are still working can say, wait a minute, that's not a stressor. That's supposed to relieve stress. Well, those of you that are retired and have gone through retirement or are in it right now, you know that that's not true. It has its own set of challenges. And so what you need to understand is if you have been through any of those major stressors, or if you go through those major stressors, you need to be careful because you are a candidate for harmful distress. And so, number 1, just be aware that pressure is a fact of life. Well, let's go on to number 2. Let's talk about stress busters now, because that's the whole point of this series. I don't want to spend so much time painting the problem that we don't talk about the solution, the answer. Here's stress buster. There are some resources to manage stress. There are some things that you can remember, some things you can do to reduce stress, to manage stress. You'll never eliminate stress, but you can learn to manage it. Somebody sent me this as an email attachment. They call it a stress reduction kit. You might want to ask me to send it to you, and you can print it out and put it on a big poster and put it on your wall. It says stress reduction kit. Bang your head here. You place it on a firm surface, follow the directions, and then you repeat step 2 as often as necessary or until unconscious. And when you're unconscious, that's when the stress reduction has entered in. Well, I think there are times that all of us would just like to beat our head up against the wall, but that's not the answer to managing stress according to the Word of God. I want to share with you tonight 3 wonderful resources that God has given us to manage stress in our lives. Number 1, you need to realize God's presence with you. I mean, when you're facing stress and pressure, realize God's presence with you. God has said that I'm not going to leave you nor forsake you, but there are so many wonderful promises in the Bible that remind us that God is there for us. You remember David writing in Psalm 23, he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I'm not going to fear any evil because why? He said, you are with me. And one of the greatest promises that I love about God's presence is found in Isaiah 43. Look at this great promise. God says, fear not. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, he didn't say if you pass, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, he didn't say if you walk through the fire, when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. And that word means you won't be burned up. God is saying, I'm going to be there with you. You know, every time I read that scripture, I can't help but think about that great story over in the book of Daniel when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood up for what they believed. They refused to compromise their convictions. And Nebuchadnezzar had them thrown into a fiery furnace. And if you remember, he heated the fire so hot that the Babylonian soldiers that threw them in lost their lives. That's how hot it was. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tied up and bound. But when they fell into the fire, the Bible says the only thing that was burned off were their shackles, the ropes that tied them. And then Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire and he asked an amazing question. He said, didn't we throw 3 men into the fire and weren't they bound? And he said, and don't I now see 4 men walking in the fire? And in his own way of putting it, he said, and one appears as a son of God. And of course, we believe that was the Lord Jesus in one of his pre-incarnate manifestations, walking in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What a great promise that we have, folks, that when you do pass through difficulties, when you walk through the fire of affliction, when you pass through the rivers of pressure, and when you're up to your neck in the waters of stress, God says, don't worry, because I'm going to be there with you. He was there with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, when are we going to learn that peace is not the absence of problems? Peace is the presence of God with us in the midst of our problems. And God has never promised that you would be immune from difficulty or pain. But He has promised, I will be there with you. You know, probably we would say, well, Lord, if it's all up to you, I don't really care to walk through the fire. Or Lord, if it's just the same to you, I don't really want to have to pass through the river. Well, you know what? I would rather be in the fire with Jesus than safe out of the fire without Jesus. And you know what the key that we must remember is that when pressure and stress come our way, we must, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, remain cool in the fire, cool under pressure. And the way we can do that is because we know that God is there with us. That's His first resource, His presence. Here's the second thing that we need to remember. Number two, another resource to manage stress is we must rely on God's promises. Rely on God's promises. This book is full of God's promises to us. And the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away. He said, but my words will never pass away. Someone has said that there are 365 promises in the Word of God, one for every day. But you know, I don't believe that, because I believe there are many, many more than 365 promises in the Word of God. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, unlimited number of promises in the Word of God. I've been reading this book just about every day since 1970, and it's amazing how I still am discovering new promises and new hope as I read the Word of God. Let me just give you one of God's promises that ought to help you when you're going through times of tension and stress. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3. The Bible says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard, circle that word guard, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, the amazing thing is when it comes to peace in the Bible, the Bible says we can have peace with God, and that's what happens through the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed on the cross for us. And the Bible says that we can have peace in God, and we can have the peace of God, because He is the God of peace. Paul was in prison when he wrote these words. And the verses just before this promise, you know what he said? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You say, yeah, Pastor, that's easy for him to say. Well, no, it wasn't easy for him to say. He was not sitting on some beach somewhere with the waves tickling his toes. He wasn't sitting in some beautiful mountain retreat watching the sunset. He was wasting away in a damp, dark dungeon, waiting at any moment for a Roman soldier to come and chop his head from his body. And he still said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Don't you worry. How could he say that? Because he had this peace of God that passed human understanding. You know, I've often dealt with families when they've experienced the death of a loved one. That's what pastors do. And through the years, I have seen some people who've known the Lord and walked with the Lord and loved the Lord for years. And when a loved one dies and goes on to heaven, I've just seen that kind of peace just surround that grieving wife or that grieving husband or those grieving children. And although there may be tears coming down their cheeks, they still have the faith to be able to say, you know what, I know where he is. I know where she is right now. And they have a peace that the world can't understand. The world says, well, why aren't you falling apart? Why aren't you losing it? And those who know the Lord and love the Lord say, well, hey, I haven't lost my husband. I haven't lost my wife. I know where he is. I know where she is. He's with the Lord. She's with the Lord right now. As Paul was writing these words in prison, there was a Roman guard chained to him. Many scholars believe that they were chained to him 24 hours a day because he was such an important prisoner, such visibility, and because there were people who were trying to kill him. And these soldiers, every 12 hours or 8 hours, a new one would come in and would be chained to him, and he would use that as an opportunity to tell them about his Lord, his faith. But just as there was a guard there in the prison guarding him, he used that same picture to say, the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will guard your mind and guard your heart through Christ Jesus. So many promises of God. And here's the final resource to manage stress. Number 3, you must rest in God's position for you. Rest in God's position. You say, what are you talking about there? Well, once you understand where you are in Christ, it will make all the difference in the way you deal with pressure, stress, and difficulty. This is what Jesus said in John 16:33. Jesus said, I have told you these things so that, look at these words, in me, those are the key words, in me you may have peace, because outside of him you won't have peace. In this world, he said, I promise you, you'll have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Paul uses that phrase over and over again in his writings, a man in Christ. It is Christ in us and we are in Christ. That's our position. We are in Christ. And my friend, if Christ is the peace of God, and he is, and you are in Christ, you are in the peace of God. You say, Pastor, that is so theological, that's so spiritual. Can't you give it to me in a way I can understand it better? Well, I'll try. Do you remember where you were on July 19, 1969? I do. Some of you weren't alive, but I was a kid and I was sitting in the living room of my home in South Alabama with much of America watching television, because that was the night that Apollo 11 landed on the moon. I was sitting there with my grandfather and my grandmother, who both were getting up in years, and we were watching our television there, and you could hear the astronauts talking to Houston and Houston talking to the astronauts, and they would say, well, we're about to land, Roger, and the lunar module has settled down, over, Roger. And my granddaddy said, which one of those guys is Roger? That's what he wanted to know. And then I watched as Neil Armstrong climbed down that ladder and stepped onto the landscape of the moon and made that statement, one small step for a man, although he intended to say one small step for man, one small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind. And then he walked around on the surface of the moon. Everybody knows Neil Armstrong's name. Anybody know the name of the other astronaut that day? Buzz Aldrin. Buzz Aldrin soon climbed down the same ladder, and the two of them walked around on the surface of the moon. Now, let me ask a question. How were they able to exist on the lunar surface? Because there's no oxygen to breathe. And the temperature ranges from minus 45 degrees Celsius in the shade to over 200 degrees Celsius in the direct sun. I mean, how were they able to walk around and talk and function? You say, well, Pastor, they were in a life support system. They were in a space suit. Right. And you and I are in Christ. And if you try to face the problems and difficulties of this life without being in Christ, Be like trying to walk around on the moon without a space suit. But if you realize that you are in Christ and that you're in His peace and you're in His protection and you're within His promises, there's not a hostile person nor a hostile circumstance in this world that can do you any harm. You see, the secret to dealing with stress and pressure is to maintain that intimate contact and that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, because He is our peace. You will not have peace outside of Him. I have this little poem on one of the walls of my study, written by Ralph Cushman. He says, "I met God in the morning when the day was at its best. His presence came like sunrise, like a glory to my breast. All day long His presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me. And we sailed in perfect calmness across a very troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to me a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mine when I too had loosed the moorings with His presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek Him in the morning if you want Him through the day. Oh, the Lord will be with you all day. But if every single morning you'll seek His presence and you'll seek to maintain your position in Christ, connected to Him all day long, you can walk in His peace." Let's pray. Father, I pray for those who are struggling with stress and tension and pressure. And I pray that tonight they will receive these wonderful resources that You've given to each one of us to experience that peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, I thank You that it is not just some kind of empty, ethereal, spiritual promise. It is real. It has flesh and blood, nuts and bolts, something that we can take hold of and appropriate. And I pray that someone here today who walked in under stress will walk out in Christ, in Your peace. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen.